Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now a call in for immigrants from anywhere. And we'll let second-generation folks in here, too, because the author of the book in question is second-generation herself with Chinese immigrant parents. On the question, no matter where you come from, are you a Chinese mother? You may have been hearing a lot about Amy Schwa in the last week or so. She's the woman who wrote the book Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, which is excerpted in the Wall Street Journal under the title Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior. And that excerpt begins, quote, "A lot of people wonder how Chinese parents raise such stereotypically successful kids. They wonder what these parents do to produce so many math whizzes and music prodigies, what it's like inside the family, and whether they could do it too. Well, I can tell them because I've done it," unquote. And she talks about no play dates, no sleepovers, no school plays, no TV, only straight A's, and only playing and excelling at piano or violin, no other instruments. As you might imagine, she got lots of people, Chinese and otherwise, pretty worked up. And here she is on the Leonard Lopate show last week explaining what she meant by a Chinese mother.
First, let me just say, this has been the source of some problem for me. I'm using this term Chinese parent or Chinese very, very loosely. In the first page of my book, I explained that I was talking to a guy from South Dakota, and he, after talking with him, he and I decided that his working class Irish father had been a Chinese mother. And I think it's more of an immigrant thing. You know, I know lots of parents from Korea, India, Pakistan, Nigeria who do the same thing. But by conversely, many, many Chinese people don't choose this kind of parenting. But I do think that just using this term loosely, I think that Chinese parents assume strength, or immigrant parents assume strength rather than fragility. So as a result, they behave very differently. And I think there it raises a real interesting question of how you give true self-esteem to a child. I know there's, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you're just obsessed with A's and achievements. And for me personally, I think that love and compassion have to come first. And the way, you know, I had very strict but very loving Chinese immigrant parents. And the way I took the message was not, you know, you have to get A's or, you know, we won't love you. It was always, we believe in you so much that we know you can be excellent. And we're going to be in there in the trenches and we're not going to let you give up.
So Amy Schwa, from her interview with Leonard Lopate last week, and right now we're inviting you to call in. If you had a Chinese mother, quote unquote, according to Amy Schwa's definition there, first or second generation Koreans, Indians, Pakistanis, Nigerians, all the ones she mentioned, or Chinese, did you have a Chinese mother, and what did that mean in your life? Or what do you think it'll mean for your kids if you are that Chinese mother or father? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And do you see this kind of strict parenting, the way Amy Schwa describes it, about assuming strength and not fragility in your children, believing your child can be excellent, not letting them give up on achieving that excellence, not thinking they're so fragile that they can't take hard knocks from you, criticizing them, or do you see this as something else? 212-433-WNYC, and this is just for first-generation or second-generation immigrants from anywhere. Are you a Chinese mom, or was your mother or father a Chinese mother by Amy Schwa's definition? 212-433-9692, and Li Ji in Queens, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment that I could understand Amy Chua's comments, being a second generation immigrant family, where academics and achievement in academics was upheld and stressed, and basically, you know, I could empathize with her ideals, because as an immigrant second generation, you are forced to achieve academically, and understand that by that achievement, your life in America, where your parents struggled so much, all those goals could be achieved. And so I do somewhat agree with her parenting skills, because I think that as a child, you don't know as much, and if you are taught with some of those beliefs, you will achieve and you will be mm-hmm. able to accomplish the things that your parents could not accomplish.
When you look around at American parenting styles in general, do you see them marked by massive mediocrity?
I don't, but I do believe there's somewhat of a lax and coddling kind of feature where, you know, as a child, if you are taught that the only way to be at a better place is to achieve, and that's the only thing that is allowed, that's what you're going to do.
Go ahead.
You know, I don't think that her parenting skills are so severe that, you know, there isn't wiggle room. I mean, I'm sure her children rebelled at some stage, but at the end of the day, they're going to be successful in whatever they do, whether it be musicians or, you know, professors, whatnot, because they were led in that route.
Thank you very much for starting us off. I really appreciate it. Now, interestingly, anybody see David Brooks' column yesterday where he said, well, maybe they'll be successful at what they do, but there are all these social science studies of groups performing tasks that find that it doesn't have to do with the individual IQ or achievement. I don't remember exactly what term he used, of the individuals in the group. It has to do with how well they work as a group, so that a kind of social intelligence could be as important to success as the kind of individual-focused accomplishments that he says Amy Schwa is focused on. His headline was, Amy Schwa is a wimp, which meant that she wasn't tough enough on promoting social intelligence by allowing participation in school plays and allowing play dates and sleepovers and stuff like that. But are you a Chinese mom? Anya in West Milford, you're on WNYC. Hello, Anya.
Yes, hi. I'm Polish. I'm 20 years in U.S. I have three kids. The oldest is 11. And I do understand the Chinese way of, you know, raising kids, because I do expect from my kids a lot. And I don't tell them good job if it's not a good job. And they don't have Xboxes and many things that their friends have. I'm not as strict, and they do not practice piano for 2 hours a day, but they do practice every day. And I think it is an immigrant thing. For me, I know if my parents could give me more, they would. My mom, I remember her standing in Boston in front of MIT and having tears in her eyes. And I know I would be in this school. If she, you know, living in Poland, we were not giving, my parents didn't have the opportunity and money and everything that we have. And we can give our kids, not in toys, but in better education.
Do you think it's something about the immigrant experience in general?
I do. I definitely do, because we see more how many opportunities America gives you, not in better cars or better, you know, toys, but in how can you, you know, use the opportunities that you have. I definitely believe in it.
Thank you very much, Anya. We appreciate it. From our webpage, Eben says, Nigerian immigrants, tough parents that he had as a Nigerian immigrant. And although they were not crazy about my liberal arts route, he said, they completely supported me. Brian did a show a while back about Asian students at Ivy League schools and suicide. I wonder if there is a link, asks Evan, originally from Nigeria. Here's a caller originally from Nigeria, too. Peter in Hillside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Yes, hi. I'm originally from Nigeria. I can see what the lady is saying. But the problem is Nigerians, the way we raise our kids, like, we put education first. Sometimes they don't have to go out. We make them read what we call TGV, till they break. We could give them a novel, say, you have to finish it and make a note. You don't have to go out. You don't have to do. So discipline is more or less what we do with the kids. So TV time, there's timetable for everything. Time to watch TV, and the home timetable do not overlap. So if it's time for you to go to sleep, time for you to watch TV, you turn it off. So we're very strict on that. But we don't go as far as, like, making sure they have to, you know, starve them of some fun. We don't do that. And that's why we don't have so many suicides like the Chinese people have. So we kind of balance it. But up on the scale of 1 to 10, reading and academic has to be 10. You know, there's no way, two ways about it. But they still have time for fun, so we kind of do the balancing act. And it's a traditional thing, because we compete. So you want to say, okay, your friend who's in Nigeria, he has an A or he's going to MTI. Why won't you do it? If he can do it, you could do it. Mm-hmm. That kind of push we give them. It's not just about, you know, saying you can't go out with your friends. We make a timetable for everything they do, and so, they follow it rigidly.
So you, as a Nigerian father, are pretty much a Chinese mother.
Well, I think I would even write a book as a Nigerian father.
What were those initials that you used before? I didn't quite get that.
About my name, you mean?
No, using about what? Reading a book until you're done or something?
We call it TGB, Till Daybreak. Some of us, like when growing up in Nigeria, when we have tests, we read what we call TDB. You don't go to sleep the whole night.
Oh, till daybreak. It's pulling, right, it's pulling an all-nighter.
Right, all-nighter, yeah.
On schoolwork. All right, Peter, thank you very much. Good luck with your kids. Margaret in Marlborough, you're on WNYC. Hello, Margaret.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Good. I'm a Chinese mom, and I'm also a psychiatrist.
Uh-huh.
I was raised by a Chinese mom, and yeah, it did help me with academics, but it did stunt social skills a little bit. And then the other issue was back in 2008, CNN did a study reported from the NIMH that Asian American females had one of the highest suicide rates in the country, and they attributed that to parenting skills and low self-esteem skills because of, you know, I guess the Amy Trost way of parenting. So I just had that as a comment than anything else.
People keep bringing up the suicide rate. And do you think it's a stereotype, too? Because, you know, look, there are so many Chinese people in the United States at this point, and only a tiny minority of them wind up going to MIT or Harvard, even though Chinese are overrepresented at those schools compared to their percentage of the population. It's still a small percentage of them. So do you think there's a kind of model minority stereotype being pervaded here, too?
There is. But one thing is, I think part of it is being an immigrant in a new country, I think there is a different way of thinking, a different way of psychology that you want to succeed. And so I look at my American colleagues and how their children treat education versus some of my Chinese colleagues, and a lot of it has to do, well, you're the new kid on the block, you gotta show you know, if you can succeed. So they
overdo
work
it.
Harder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, and there's been a study done. It's not that Chinese kids are more intelligent. They actually looked at this. It's because they tend to persevere more. So if they fail at something, they keep on trying, and had nothing to do with intelligence. You know, one of the
which is like, exactly yeah, Amy Schwa's is exactly Amy Schwa's point.
Yeah, but I think her argument about Chinese mothers being superior and her form of parenting is a little bit too extreme. There's nothing wrong with it. It just, in my view, is a little bit mm-hmm. too extreme, because you do need to have playdates to build social skills and to, you know, develop other arenas. Like my cousin, whose mother was less strict, he has excellent social skills, and that kind of helped him get into business. So there is different types of intelligence besides academic and musical intelligence.
Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. And Patricia from Milburn writes on our Facebook page, as an Asian immigrant, we understand how racial issues played in Asia. While we cannot change how others view us, we can change what we do to improve our chances of success. The same is true when we cannot repeat time. Therefore, as a parent, you try your best to help your kids to release your kids' full potential. If high pressure is what works for Amy, so be it, writes Patricia in Milburn. Jackie in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Yes, I am a child of immigrant parents. My parents were Russian immigrants, and both of them were engineers. I actually grew up in a predominantly immigrant neighborhood in Skokie, Illinois, and I was surrounded by not only my parents were strict like this, my teachers were as well. I had ballet teachers My piano teacher was extremely strict. She used to tell me that I need to wake up at 5 in the morning before I get to school, practice, and then come home and practice some more until I go to bed if I want to be any good. I mean, I think that all of these practices was extremely, extremely extreme on me as growing up, because I honestly, during my eighth grade and all these years, I was, again, not allowed to have play dates. I was never allowed to sleep over. I was not even allowed to bring anyone over to my house. Mm. It was very extreme to me. And I personally, if I ever have children, I would never raise them this way. To me, it's like, I learned the piano, right? But mm-hmm. I didn't learn the creative side of it. I would just learn how to be an accompanist, you know? I mean, it's not like you get any creativity from this process. Right. You just, it's just, maybe that's why all these kids are actually going more into liberal arts instead of math and science, because I went to that route too. I decided to become a fashion designer because we just had no creativity while growing up, because it was just here. Like, I had all these tutors. There was no process. There's no like other process of thinking besides, hey, right, this is in front of you. You got to get this exactly right. So there's no other.
I hear you.
There's nothing else.
So a lot of the kids take this on as it's presented, and some of the kids wind up rebelling. And you're an example of somebody who just had to break out of those chains and go a whole other way. So you must be getting just so much resonance from all of this conversation, not just here, about Amy Shaw.
We also had a Facebook discussion, because I read her article on the Huffington Post, and my sister is actually the one that published it on her page. She's in publishing, and she also went to the liberal arts way. Even though when we were born, I actually remember when we were extremely, extremely young, before we started kindergarten, my mom said to me, I'm going to be a doctor and my sister's going to be a lawyer, no matter what, you know? And it's funny how when we grew up that, you know, we went into the liberal arts kind of path. And I think that's what's happening a lot with this young generation. They just can't handle that, you know. I mean, to be honest, like, now I'm thinking about it, you know, I probably would have went to the math and science route, because I do enjoy science so much, but just growing up, I'm like, I can't handle it anymore. I just want to do some creative thing.
Jackie, thank you very much. Good luck to you. Isabel in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you.
I believe in the free stress approach. I raised four children by myself. My daughter is an NYU student, high on a roll, and she is going to be a civil engineer. And I had no stress. They had play days. I believe in the free approach of children learn through play.
And where are you from originally?
I'm from Mexico. I was born in Mexico. I came to this country at the age of 16, and I'm self-educated. I educated myself, and I owe it to the Jewish community that gave me the opportunity to learn and to be independent. And that's what my children do. And I'm a single parent. My husband died, and I had to raise four children by myself, and I don't pressure them.
Well,
congratulations.
Is there anything you would call being a Mexican parent, or you're just really, you're being sort of what you see as an American parent?
I see as an American parent, and I also work with a lot of American parents, and I believe in a free of stress approach. If you give your children love and attention at the first time in the first few years of their life, they will manage to do whatever they want and find a place in the world.
Isabel, thank you so much. And we'll get one more in here, not a Chinese mother, but a Chinese father. Right, Chai?
Yes, yes. I have a son who's 12 years old. He's doing very well. Academically, he's doing extremely well. Also, I think things I would like to talk about is, one is for parent, you need to plan well. You push the child into the right direction. You see, my son has a national ranking on chess, has a regional ranking on tennis. He's practiced violin since he's 4.5 years old. He learned golf. I think everything he does well. To me, important thing is he has to enjoy the thing he does. Otherwise, I think in the long term, that may have a negative impact on him. One other thing I would like to mention is I disagree with one way to teach children is to criticize children. That's not a good way. My parents have been always criticized me. So I pick up this as a bad habit. Look at things always in a negative way. So I found my son had the same thing from a few years ago. Then I stopped criticize him and tried to redirect, use a positive way to motivate him, to encourage him, give him the reason why he should do well on the tennis, on the chess, whatever he's doing. I think do not criticize children. That's a many Chinese parents should change. That way they should change.
Why so many things? Chess, violin, golf, tennis. You've mentioned all of these.
I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking about when two things. One, he goes to college with his talent. He should be able to go to one of the top colleges in this country. Also, when he finishes college, when he gets his whatever, finishes his education, when he goes to society to work, all these skills will be able to help him. Also, in the process to become a national ranked chess player, it's not the ranking, it's the way to get there. That's the way you be successful in any kind of career. You need that kind of a process. How to be successful, how to work your problems, how to achieve, how to face the competition. Yes. That's the process.
And I guess there certainly is a feedback loop that encourages this kind of range of extracurricular activities for kids who really want to get into the very top colleges. I was reading an article by somebody who has been on the admissions committee at Yale, and he wrote about how they would get an application from a very successful high school senior who had three or four really strong extracurricular activities, and he said, we would laugh it off because we knew we were going to take the ones who had 11 or 12 extracurricular activities. So I thought, oh, my God. But that was a word from inside the Yale admissions committee. So anyway, Shai, thank you very much. And thanks to all of you who called on this. Obviously, we could talk about this for hours and hours and hours, as just about everybody I know is doing. And we thank Leonard Lopate for the clip from Amy Schwa from his show. And you can keep the conversation going on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And coming up next, we will spend a few minutes for those of you following the British royal wedding plans as a secret guilty pleasure. Stay tuned.